For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Okay, welcome to Parshas Ekev. This parsha, in conjunction with last week's parsha, discusses fundamental Jewish hashkafa, how to look at things, okay? And first of all, what's going to be discussed in this class is going to be the second half of that basic, you know, big philosophical question. Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, why do the ways of the wicked prosper? So last week, we discussed why do the ways of the wicked prosper, right? If you remember chapter 7, verse 10, well, it's because God pays them off to their face. Any little mitzvahs they have, they get paid in this world, so they will be taken out of the next world. Umishalem, Lesoinav, Elponav, Lavido. Okay? So that's the answer to that one. And this week, we have the flip side. Why do bad things happen to good people? And that's answered, and God willing, will elaborate on it in chapter 8, verse 5. Ki asher yaser ishes beno, Hashem lokechem yasrecha, like a father who chastises his son, the Lord your God chastises you. Here, so Hashem wants to clean us up. He wants to rectify, correct us for our own good. So those are that's a basic question we need to discuss. A quick review of the parsha. Parsha opens up with this theme like we had last week. If you do the mitzvahs, right? Well, you know what? The materialistic world is going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed in physicality. And we'll discuss that. Is that an actual reward for a mitzvah or what? Okay? Because we have a rule, schar mitzvah b'hai amaleka, right? Right. No such thing as a reward for a mitzvah in this world. Okay, then the Torah portion will talk about when you go into the land of Israel. Don't fear them, right? I'm going to take care of it, says Hashem, just like I destroyed Paro, you know, in Egypt. So too you'll enter the land of Israel, and slowly you will conquer it. We'll talk about the slowly factor, okay? And don't take any of their avodah zarah, completely smash all their idols, Hashem warns. And after that, we have a recounting of some of the occurrences that happened in the desert, right? How Hashem took care of us for 40 years. How the Ani HaKavod, the clouds of glory, kept us, our clothes clean. And the clothes actually grew with us. Rashi says, like a snail, where the shell of the snail grows with it. So too, these clouds of glory provided us with all our physical taking care of us, our clothes-wise, it didn't wear out. You know, it grew with us, we had no problems with that. Then we go on with some of the review of some of the things that we already learned about in the Parsha. For example, the whole episode of the stand at Mount Sinai, how we got up there, Hashem, Moshe went up for 40 days and 40 nights, he came down, we built the golden calf, he smashed the luchos, he went back up, right? A total of 3 times, 40 days and 40 nights, did not eat, did not drink, did not sleep, right? And he came down with the second set of tablets on Yom Kippur. And in our parsha, it's mentioned that is why Yom Kippur is a day of forgiveness and atonement. It was set up in the system because that was the day we were forgiven for the golden calf and the day we got the second tablets. Okay? Then we have the source for benching. One of two brachas that's from the Torah is in one of two brachas that's from the Torah, that's right, is from our Torah portion. And that is chapter 8, verse 10. Ve'achalta v'savatu v'rachtas Hashem Elokecha. You should eat and be satisfied and bless the Lord your God. That is benching. Okay? We have the second paragraph of the Shema. Last week we had the first paragraph of the Shema. This week, the second paragraph of the Shema. We are told about our rebelliousness in the desert. Again, reviewing the events that happened in the previous books. how we're stiff-necked people, and we'll see that's also a little bit of a praise for us. And we are told also how Dasan, Vaviram, and Korach, how they were destroyed, right, when they argued. And we're told about some of the other times we tested God at Kibras HaTaiva, right, and Besavera, okay, and all these things are reviewed once again. Okay? Then the Torah portion talks about some of the encampments, what happened at that time, at those different encampments, again, recounting some of the things, and again, warning us over and over again in the Torah portion to keep the mitzvahs if we want to stay in the land of Israel. This is repeated several times in the Torah, right? And also the mitzvah to love God, which we had last week, we have it this week, that's repeated many times. Many times in the Torah it's repeated to love Hashem. I documented some of those times. Okay, and if you're interested in chapter 10, verse 12, chapter 11, verse 1, chapter 6, verse 5, chapter 11, verse 13, and verse 22, and chapters 30, verses 6, 16, and 20. Many, many times. Love God. V'ahavtes Hashem Elokecha. Okay, we got to sensitize ourselves. If it's repeated that many times, we have to develop a love for Hashem. That's one of the main things we're here. Both those things are in our portion, to love Hashem and to fear Him. Okay, we're going to find out about that. We have a verse telling us that all the mitzvahs are for one purpose, and that is to fear Hashem, Yiras Hashem, okay? All right. Then we have a warning again, once again, that if Hashem blesses us in the materialistic world, that's really in the second paragraph of Shema, how we have to be careful and not let that distract us, a continual theme that we've had in this class. Okay? So, and then the Torah portion ends with, if we enter the land of Israel, every place that we set our foot, right, that will be ours, right, and that Hashem will put a fear on the inhabitants of the land of Israel, the present inhabitants, and we will be able to conquer it. Okay, so that's some of the review of the Parsha. We'll go back to the very beginning of the Parsha now. Vaya Ekev Tishma'un. You will, if you listen to the mitzvahs, basically what it means, right, then you'll get these materialistic blessings, okay? Now, materialistic blessings, we'll discuss later if that's a reward in itself. But the word vaya ekev tishma'un, Rashi says, you know what mitzvahs we're talking about if you want to get the physical blessings? Well, you would have thought, you know, the biggies, you know. I mean, if there's such a thing as big or little mitzvahs, they're all decrees from the king, so they're all the same. Right, we learned that in Pirkei Avos. Havi zar mitzvah kala kibachumra. You got to be as careful with what you seems to you as a light mitzvah as a heavy mitzvah. Okay, but at any rate, you might have thought to get these materialistic blessings, yeah, you got to be a Shomer Shabbos, you know, your lights filling every day, or keep kosher, whatever it is. So Rashi says, very interesting, vaya ekev tishmun, a play on the word ekev. Ekev, you know, the word Yaakov. Ekev's a heel, right? So he says, a mitzvah's kalos sha'adam dash be'ikvav tishmaun. If you listen to those mitzvahs that people trample on, you know, in other words, that you don't give any respect to. You know, the mitzvah like brachas, you know, you rattle them off, right? You don't give them any respect, right? Those type of mitzvahs. If you give them chashivas, if you put, right, life into those mitzvahs, right, it's wonderful that you get excited about the esrog and the lulav on Sukkot and lighting the Hanukkah licht. Right, that's beautiful that you get excited from them. But you know, that's once a year. It's relatively easy to get excited. I'm still working on that, but it's relatively easy to get excited about those things. Right, let me see you get excited about a Tuesday morning saying a bracha on your coffee. Right, that's a kunst. The everyday things you do. Right. The mitzvahs that you dash bake of, the ones that you trample on, you don't give them enough respect. There's such a term as a mace mitzvah. A mace mitzvah usually means a dead mitzvah, which means, literally, it means if there's someone that has died and there's no one to take care of them, you have to bury them. You have to drop whatever you're doing. That's a mace mitzvah. But they say, like, metaphorically, that, did I just make up a word? Is there such a word metaphorically?
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, that was good? Yeah.
Oh, you didn't make it up.
Yeah, actually, okay. So anyways, they say metaphorically that, I'll keep using it, I just discovered something. that there could be a mitzvah, meaning that a mitzvah that's ignored. You know, a current mitzvah is being ignored. That's a mace mitzvah, it's a dead mitzvah, right? During the time of Abraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a dead mitzvah. He was a mace mitzvah. Everybody ignored him. Right? So, it says, if you find a mitzvah that people are ignoring, it's a mace mitzvah, and you give it special chashivas, right? Special importance, you get a tremendous reward. You get a real special reward. And, like today, you know, books, sforim, holy books, people lean on them, they don't put them away. You know, it's a mace mitzvah. You know, so it's important to find those mitzvahs that people are not giving enough respect and give them extra respect. It's an actual halacha. Okay, so those type of mitzvahs we're talking about at the beginning of the parsha, if you give them respect and chashivas, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remember the covenant and the chesed that he swore to your fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, right? And you'll get all these materialistic blessings. Okay? Now, go on, follow along with me, please, if you will. Okay, so that's one thought. Now, chapter 7, going on, a few verses down, verse 15. In conjunction with these blessings, V'heisir Hashem imcha kol choyle v'kol matvei Mitzrayim ha-ra'im. Hashem will remove from you all the sicknesses, all the plagues that came upon Egypt, right? Right? Asher yadata, that you knew, hear this? The plagues that you knew, because you were there, you know, you witnessed the 10 plagues, right? Right? Okay, he won't put them on you. Lo yisimam bach, right? But he'll give them on your enemies. So I heard from Rabbi Grossman. He said, we understood really how severe those plagues were. You know why? It says, from this verse, they learn out, the Medrash learns out that Hashem actually put every one of those plagues on us also. For a moment. Just for a moment, and then removed it. All those plagues that they had. Why? So we'd appreciate it. That's what he says. In other words, we'd see the severity of this plague, you know, and then we'd really appreciate the chaste Hashem, how Hashem has taken vengeance for us. Okay? So I was thinking, that's Ad Kahn, Rabbi Grossman. Okay, now I was thinking from here, you say my eyes look a little watery, huh? I was thinking from here, every now and then it's good to get a little sick, to get a little bit of a cold. Because it's mashma from here, you don't appreciate your good health unless you get, you know, something wrong with you every now and then. If your whole life is continually full of wealth and health, right, may you all be blessed with it, right, well, you don't appreciate it. And witness the flood, the generation of the flood. It was a spring-like weather all year round. They only had a plant once in 40 years. And look what they did. They became the most corrupt generation ever. And they got, you know, steeped in immorality, homosexuality, right? They completely abused the gifts, right? So it's interesting to get a little clop every now and then, just for a, you know, a little cold, something just so you can appreciate breathing normal, right? And sometimes, even if you witness somebody else, you go visit someone in the hospital, and you appreciate the fact that you're not in the hospital. I was talking to someone I was doing a little bit of outreach with, and this person has tremendous allergies. You know, so I was thinking, when I got off the phone with her, that, you know, it's mamash bracha. You know, I don't realize it. You know, some people during the spring and fall, they have tremendous suffering, you know, with allergies. And just to be able to breathe normal is a tremendous bracha. So sometimes what I'm getting at is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you deserve some sort of penalty, some sort of punishment, some sort of affliction, but you get the message by seeing it on somebody else that a Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to bring it upon you. There's such a thought. Okay.
If it sinks home.
Huh? If it sinks home, that's the key. I'll tell you, it's interesting you say this. I've been playing softball this year, and there was a guy who was a shortstop on one of the other teams. The guy was unbelievable. He's all over the field. The guy was in, you know, left field. He's out everywhere, you know? He's catching them all over the place. And the next day I heard that he got diagnosed for cancer in one of the private parts, lower lane. So I was unbelievable, you know? And so I was very shooken up. You know, I was like tremendously shaken up. I was like, and here's a guy that's running around, you know, free as a bird. He seems so healthy and everything's great. And he thinks everything's great. Doesn't think anything's wrong. Next day, his, you know, whole life is in jeopardy. It really shook me up, you know. So I talked to him a couple weeks later. I said, how's it going? You know, we all got very concerned. You know, he's not an Orthodox person. He's very far removed from Orthodoxy. But, you know, he's a Jew and, you know, a human being, so I was, you know, concerned, and he appreciated it. So I spoke to him Sunday, and I said, how's it going? Because he said, I'm going through the last of the treatments today. And he said, the miracles of modern medicine, modern science. So I said, what about the Chasdei Hashem? I said, what about the miracles of God who caused this cure in your body? He said, life goes on, he said, you know, basically. This is amazing. Me, who it didn't happen to, I was like tremendously shaken up. And him, he didn't take it to heart. Like, he missed out on a divine opportunity to get close to God. He really, who knows, maybe that was the whole reason for it. It looks like he's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine, but he missed out on a tremendous opportunity. Everything is an opportunity in life. Okay, let's move on to the Parsha. Okay, moving down, if you look at verse 22, chapter 7, verse 22, it says, Hashem will take out the goyim from you, ma'at ma'at, little by little. Okay, here's another example of or something you think is bad, really could end up being good. We talked about this last case. This gentleman had a chance to get close to God, but he didn't take advantage of the opportunity. Okay? Here too, what looks like bad, you know, we're trying to go in, conquer all the nations, and Hashem says, no, you're only going to conquer them a little by little. You're not going to be able to get rid of them all at once. So that looks like it's something bad. You know, the war has to schlep out, being away from your family, right? The men would be away from their family and everything, right? Right? The 2.5 tribes would have to sit there and fight before they could return on the other side of the Jordan, right? But it's a bracha. That's also a bracha, because look at the rest of the verse. Why? Lo suchal kalaisamayer. You're not going to be able to wipe them out immediately. No. For your benefit. Pen tirbech alecha chayis asodeh. You know why? Because if you did, the animals would run rampant in a vacant land. So little by little, they'll be removed for your benefit. And this is a mussar, a lesson for us throughout life. Everything that seems that we want something, we have no patience, especially in America, everything has to be instant and yesterday. Right? Right? So that's what we are, right? So we don't get things we want immediately. That's also for our benefit sometimes. Okay? A lot of this is pure Torah outcome things. Okay? Moving on. Follow along with me, if you will. Okay? And now we go down to chapter 8, verse 2. Very key verse. Right? It says, V'zachartes haderech, you should remember the way that God led you 40 years in the desert. Right? Lama'an anoyscha l'narsoyscha. He afflicted you to test you. L'das, to know, es asher b'levavecha, what's in your heart. Hatishua mitzvoysav imlo. Are you going to still do his mitzvahs? This is us. This is everybody. This is what a Jew is all about. A whole life is full, anoyscha l'narsoyscha. A whole life is full of afflictions to test us. This field, Rabbi Tash used to say, this field, this earth is a minefield. You come down here, Rabbi Tulski said this. Rabbi Tash would have said this. Okay. This earth is a minefield. It is. It's full of perils and trials and tribulations. And you got to know, a lot of times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will test us for no other reason to see that to tell you that this is the yisod of being a Jew. This is the foundation of being a Jew. That to know that certain things, certain times, things aren't going to work out. They're going to seem bad because Hashem is testing us to see if you're still going to do his mitzvahs. He wants to see, with the tzoras, with your problems, with your afflictions, do you still rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Do you still have B'tochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Right? So he wants to test us to see how much B'tochen do we really have. It's easy to have B'tochen when everything is going smooth. Right?
Actually, that's a good test, too.
That's okay, we're going to get to that. That's also, that could be a bigger test, okay? But let's talk about this. We're talking about afflictions, okay? It's true, there's two types of tests. The Gemara says that, being wealthy and being poor, right? Okay, but just here, sometimes afflictions cause us, the first time we have any sort of afflictions, that's it. We complain and we're bruggish. We're mad at God, right? We don't accept the responsibility for our actions. You know, how can you let this happen to me, to us, to Israel, the Holocaust, whatever it is? Okay? So sometimes these are tests. And the bottom The bottom line is, it's for our benefit. That's what the rest of the verse says. Lama'an, he says, La'tivcha b'achrisecha, so I can give you good at the end. The bottom line is Hashem wants to give us more reward, more schar. Right? So I give you these afflictions. I see if you still trust me, you still do my mitzvahs, so I can give you more in the end. And by the way, it says three gifts Hashem gave to us. Shlosha matanis tevis nasan l'Yisrael v'kulam kiblu al yidei Yisrael. All three of them are by afflictions we get. Israel, Torah, and the next world. You can only get them through afflictions. A Torah means you got to, you know, learn, put a lot into it. Okay? So this is all for our benefit. So another thought here. This is also, he's quoting the Chafetz Chaim. This is mainly from the Chafetz Chaim. Okay? Okay. Now, actually, in addition to that, this verse is talking about the man. If you go on and look at the next verse, V'ya'ancha Hashem afflicted you, and you ate, V'yachilchas haman, you ate the man, right? Asher lo yadunov v'secha, that your fathers didn't know. L'man udicha, right? So you should know that it's not on bread that a man alone lives on, but everything that comes out of the word of mouth. So, the 40 years in the desert, now we're going to talk about what you said, right? On one hand, you have, we learned that afflictions are a test of your bitachon. Do you still rely on Hashem? Do you still do His mitzvahs? Right? And now, we're in another arena, everything was taken care of for us. Everything was taken care of for us in the desert. For 40 years, right? We just mentioned the clouds of glory took care of our clothes, right? We had the well of Miriam, right? And we had the manna. We had the man, right, for 40 years. We had no worries about making a livelihood. That's also a test. That's what it says. You had the man for 40 years. La seischa, to test you. What does it mean? What's the test there? Okay, so you guys already hopped on what the test is. Says Sephorno, la seischa. The test is the following. In tatzeret saino, if now that you have no problems making a living, you have your bread, you have your clothes, lechem v'sima below tsar, without any effort, are you going to do the will of Hashem? Are you going to take advantage of this time to sit and learn, do mitzvahs, to improve your spirituality, right? And that is, in fact, the test of wealth, okay? When you're free and you don't have to make a living, are you going to take advantage of that time? Or when you're healthy, right? Or when you're young, or when you have energy, right? To think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? To think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu at the time of your success, right? That is a test in itself. And as a matter of fact, Sephardo, his words are the following. Im tasu ritzoinu benachas benatatu parnasascha shelo betzar. Are you going to do the will of God when He gives you your parnasa, your livelihood, without any worries? Okay? And the truth is, that is why Hashem gave you the livelihood and blessed you in the materialistic realm. And that now we're going to jump for a moment towards the end of the Parsha, which is the second paragraph of the Shema, which we've quoted all year round, right? This is chapter 11, verse 13. Vayayim shamot shmuel mitzvah. If you do my mitzvahs, I'm going to give you materialistic blessings. Listen to Rambam, Maimonides, right? Don't think, says Rambam, that this is actually the reward for the mitzvahs. Okay? She'ein zeh b'tur matan schar. But zeu haftocha b'Hashem yisprach. This is a promise from Hashem. Ki yeten lecha satznayim haruim. He'll give you the proper conditions, k'dei she'efshar yeh lekayim satayra. So you'll be able to do the Torah, right? Because we know, anias v'yisruim marim es ha'adam al daiso v'adas kano. We know that a person who is afflicted, who has poverty, that distracts them and will take them away from serving God. So God's going to give you materialistic blessings to give you a peace of mind and tranquility so you can grow in ruchnius and spirituality and you can nurture your neshama. Okay? And, in addition, it's a test. Don't use it to get distracted. Right? Because more, you understand? This is a blessing. It's not a reward for a mitzvah. It's a blessing to allow you to do more mitzvahs. Okay? And in that itself is a built-in test. Are you going to take advantage of this time and do that? But more often than not, what happens? Well, as we read last week, we have it again this week. Chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. You'll eat, you'll be satisfied. Verse 11, Hishamer lecha, be careful, pentishkach Hashem lokecha, and you'll forget God. You'll eat, you'll be satisfied, everything's going fine, you'll forget God, lo bilti shmor mitzvoisav, and you won't keep his mitzvahs anymore. You'll start pursuing, quote-unquote, the good life, right? And then it goes on, verse 12, you know what's going to happen? Pentoichal v'savata, again it's repeated, you'll eat, you'll be satisfied, satiated, ubatim toivim tivneh, you'll build yourself nice houses, v'yishavta, you'll dwell in tranquility and peace, and goes on, you'll have cows and sheep, right? V'kesef v'zav, you'll have a multitude of gold and silver, right? Kesef v'zav, yirbalach, you'll be blessed with all these things, more and more. And what happens? Verse 14, v'ram levavecha, you'll get haughty, v'shachach says Hashem lokecha, and you'll forget the Lord your God, hamutziach me'eretz Mitzrayim meveis avodim, you'll forget that God took you out of Egypt from the house of slavery, that you were slaves. He took you out of, by the way, Mitzrayim, the root word of Mitzrayim is tsar, which means straits, confines, from the word source. Because we have source, you're like confined, right? You're restrained. So it really could apply to all of us. You forget about God when things are going well, and you forget that He took you out of your little Mitzrayim, out of your straits, out of your confines, out of your problems, out of your tzoras. You pray to Hashem, just get me out of this mess, and I'll start, I'll serve you properly, I'll take advantage of it. If I could just be well, if I could just have this, if I could just have a job, right? If I could just get the apartment, whatever it is, if I could just get the right mate, whatever it is. And you get it, He answers your prayers, and your heart gets haughty, and you forget God. You forget Him. And you forget your humble, upbringing, and where you were, and how He led you, and took you out and saved you. So that's how you can misuse these materialistic blessings. Okay? God does not like to change what He calls, nature, the miracles, right? And He made an exception, with especially coming out of Egypt, to let it be known that God's involved in the affairs of man. Okay, but generally He doesn't like to change it. As a matter of fact, there's a story in the Gemara about a man whose wife, Lolenu, his wife passed away, right? And he had an infant. So a miracle was created, and he grew breast, that he was able to suckle the infant. So the Gemara goes back and forth. One, Rob says, how great is this man, that for him, nature was changed. Right, and he grew breast. And another Rav said, no, how terrible. That, nature was, it's not necessarily a good thing. Okay? The trick is that you're supposed to see God within the hidden miracle that we call nature. And the only purpose of open miracles is to see the everyday miracles. Okay, so that's the answer to a lot of things. That even though God could do everything, if He did, it would really take away our free will. Okay? And that has to be maintained at all costs. That's what makes our service to God more beloved than the angels on high. That we have free will and that things aren't crystal clear. Okay, that's the name of Hashem called Shakai, Dai. It means enough. He let enough Elokus be seen in the world, right? So you can tell that God did it. At the same time, you might have doubts. That's the test of the faith. Okay. And speaking of that, let's look at the next verse, chapter 8, verse 3. It says, that famous secular statement, man doesn't live by bread alone, which you can find on the billboard of any Texas steakhouse. It says, man doesn't live by bread alone. But he lives by, all the word of God's mouth. Okay, which basically means, just like the body needs physical nutrients to be sustained, that's not all that man lives by. He has a soul, and he needs to be sustained in that area. So you have to feed your soul spirituality, Torah and mitzvahs, just like the body is fed with physical food. Okay? So that's what you would call the pshat. Now I'm going to go into a little maybe deeper meaning, okay? A little bit more mystical meaning. And that is, the Arizal says that really God created the world with 10 sayings, right? He created whatever that means. But it means everything in creation is a word of Hashem. Everything is the word of Hashem. There's elokus, a godliness in everything. So what happens is, really, the neshama, your soul, really craves the godliness in this michel, in this food. Right? But the soul's in the body. So it translates itself to you as a physical appetite. You think you have a physical appetite. Really, it's the soul that craves the spirituality of that food. So he says, a Jew, by saying a bracha, extracts some of that godly sparks, and that nurtures the soul, right? And you eat the food, which is part of the mitzvah, and you think you're physically satiated, but really, it's your soul that's spiritually satiated in the body. It translates into a physical satiation. But I want to tell you something else, right after I turn over this tape. I was walking here about 40 minutes ago, and I started to think, because, you know, you feel a little bit of fall in the air today. It's mamish beautiful. It's such a beautiful day. And I was thinking, I was looking, and Atlanta, Bichlal, is a very beautiful city. And, you know, the trees against the sky, and, you know, there's like butterflies going around. It's like, it was so beautiful. And I was thinking, this is not in the notes, guys, but I was thinking, what is it? Because everybody's moved by that. You know, religious or non-religious people are moved by what they call nature. And I was thinking, even people not affiliated, and they think, and they call it whatever they call it nature, and they don't believe in God, or they think they don't. But I think the fact that everybody's moved by it is that everybody has a soul, which is a Tselem Elohim. It's made up of the image of God, whatever that means. And what it means is their soul, like we just said here, senses the godly sparks in everything. So that's that pleasure that you get from seeing a beautiful green tree against the beautiful blue sky and feeling the little crispness in the air. I think it's the neshama. It's your soul sensing the godliness in it. Because a tree is a tree. If you look at a picture of a tree, it's not the same as experiencing it. Okay? I think that's what it is. What gives us so much pleasure is that our soul senses the godliness in all these things in creation. You know, maybe I don't know. Okay. All right, let's move on. So we go on to chapter 8, verse 5. And this is it, right? Talked about it last week. Why do good things happen to bad people? Hashem pays them off to their face to take them out of the next world. And why does bad things happen to good people? Here it is. Kasher yaser ish es bano, Hashem lokech miyasrecha. Like a father who chastises his son, the Lord your God chastises you. Any mistakes that we make, Hashem's going to punish us. Because He loves us. And He wants our ultimate benefit. He wants us to get the ultimate benefit in the next world. Okay? So there's a few things here. Number one, in particularly, you know, being the chosen people, we seem to be chosen for persecution a lot. There's a reason for that. God has attached His name to Israel. You know, Yisrael. We're His nation. And that means, by definition, even, He says, the Orachaim says, Shagama Umeis Oisim Rasha, even the nations of the world, they do the same type of wickedness. They're not going to be patched. They're not going to be chastised like we are. Right? Lo yakpid aleihem. Hashem's not going to be particular about them. Right? Kamosha makpid aleinu, like He's particular for us. Why? Well, it's right here in the verse. The key word here is, right? Hashem chastises, like far chastises His son. Excuse me. Ki akasher yaser ishes bano, like a father chastises his son. Hashem elokecha. Your God chastises you. Your personal God. Israel's God. He's our God more than anybody else. In the future, that's what it means. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Right now, He's our God. In the future, time of Mashiach, everybody will recognize Him. But we are special. And because He's Elokecha, our personal God, we're linked with Him. No one can do a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name, or Chalila, the opposite, or a Chilul Hashem, like we can. And therefore, Hashem is going to come down upon us when we do things, you know, much more than He would anybody else, because His name's attached to us. Okay, that's the key behind this. That goes with the territory of being the chosen people. You have a responsibility to live up to it, and you're going to be potched if you don't. That's one idea, okay? Another idea, okay, is that this connects in a certain respect to a verse we're going to have, chapter 10, verse 12. And in this verse, chapter 10, verse 12, there's a tremendous amount of commentaries. The verse says the following. Israel, what is Hashem asked from you? But you should fear Him. Okay, you should fear God. So from here the Gemara learns everything is in the hands of heaven, right? A person like predestined was going to be poor, rich, smart, or not smart, except one thing was not predestined. That's our basic free wills in this area, and that is whether you're going to be God-fearing. Right? That's what it says. What does God ask from you? Kim the Yira. To fear God. That's the one thing in our hands. Okay, that's the real Nakuda, that's the pupik of our free will, of everything, is whether you're going to be God-fearing or not. Doing the mitzvahs, doing this, doing that, it all comes down to that. And that's what it means. It says all the mitzvahs are really just for this purpose. It's to be a Yiras Hashem, to be a God-fearing Jew. So, the Baal Shem Tov says on this, what kind of fear? You know, there's many kinds. There's an awe, a reverence of God. That's really what God wants. That's really what the verse is talking about. It's not talking about so much about fear of punishment, even though that's a good stepping stone to the other higher levels. Baal Shem Tov says an interesting chiddush. He says, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us many mitzvahs to give us merit, to clean us up. It purifies us. It makes us sensitive. And He wants us, that you should have yira. Look at the verse. You should have fear, right? You have kim the yira, to have fear. Es Hashem lokecha. Es can also mean im. You should have the same fear like God has. What does that mean? God has a fear? Yes, God has a fear. God's fear is that He loves us so much, He's very concerned that when we do sins, that we blemish our neshama, right? And it causes us to be more magushim, more materialistic, more coarse, more grub, right? And less sensitive to spirituality. That's His fear. That His children are going to soil themselves and make them less sensitive to do spirituality. They'll make themselves coarse and grub. That's the fear you should have. That's the kind of fear God wants you to have. He wants you to fear that you will not benefit the ultimate reward in the future world that your soul can enjoy by blemishing it in this world. Okay? So that connects with our verse, like a father chastises a son, Lord your God chastises you. That's why He does it. When we start to sin and make ourselves coarse and grub, Hashem loves us. He loves us more than you love yourselves. You got to know that. Right? And therefore, He corrects us. He wants that. He says, that's a neshama worth saving. I want him to get the ultimate benefit. So I'm going to potch him in this world. The opposite of last week's Torah portion with the wicked. I pay off the wicked in this world to their face. Well, I'm nothing in this world. But my children, Israel, them I'll potch in this world for their few sins so they can have an eternal world. Okay, so that's basic some of the answers. Now, that verse goes on. We're back to chapter 8, verse 6. Ushamarta es mitzvah Hashem. You should keep the mitzvah Hashem. It's repeated so many times in the last two Torah portions. Lalechet b'dracha, to go in Hashem's ways. Well, there's how do you go in Hashem's ways? There's many different things you can do. You're supposed to emulate Hashem. I think the Baal Turim brings down, if I can find it. Oh yeah, here he goes again. There he goes with his gematrias. The numerical value. You know what the ultimate way of going in God's ways is? No? Phil? Huh? What's the ultimate way to go in God's ways?
Doing mitzvahs.
Doing mitzvahs? More general? Doing the Torah. Right? Baal HaTorim says, the lecha b'dracha, to go in His ways, numerical value, l'lmud Torah, to learn Torah. That's what he's doing in his spare time. When he composed the four tours, the four volumes of the Code of Jewish Law. Spare time, he was doing these gematrias. Okay, you like that, Phil? Okay. Okay.
Do it again.
Okay, moving right along. Okay, verse 10, we said that's the source for benching. V'alchalta v'savato v'arachta shem lokecha. You'll eat and be satisfied and thank the Lord your God. Again, you know, metaphorically, you could say again, anytime you eat and you're satisfied from anything in this world, any enjoyment, Baruch Hashem. A person should say Baruch Hashem all the time. Thank God. Thank God for this enjoyment, that enjoyment, whatever it is. You enjoyed a tennis game. Baruch Hashem, I was healthy, got out there, it was nice, it was wonderful. Say Baruch Hashem, okay? Now, also, within this bracha, that you'll eat and be satisfied, it's not, it's a satiation that, well, Rashi brings us down. This is bracha acher. This is a different type of blessing. Shetiyeh bracha mitzui bepas, that there'll be a blessing in the bread, b'toich ha'mayim, within the stomach. In other words, it means you'll be satisfied. That's the ultimate bracha. It doesn't mean you have to eat and eat and eat of the materialistic world, bread, steak, whatever it is. You'll eat it, and you'll be satisfied with whatever you have, whether it's little or much. For you, it's enough. And that's Yaakov Avinu says this, Ki chaneinu elokim v'ki yesh li kol. God's blessed me, I have everything. Did he have everything? Whatever I have is considered like I have everything. Okay, so that's the ultimate bracha. That's in Pirkei Avos, Sumeach b'chelko, to be satisfied with your lot. Okay? So that's what it means. It's not necessarily the quantity, it's the quality that you'll be satiated and you'll be happy. And that's the ultimate bracha, because that means you don't have to sit there and pursue and pursue and pursue more physicality. You'll be satiated with a little, and then you can concentrate on your real reason that you're here. Right? To spiritualize yourself. Okay? Okay, chapter 8, we're continuing. Verse 16, right? I want to repeat this. We already mentioned this. L'ma'ana no'ischa, sometimes Hashem afflicts us. U'lema'ana s'lisecha, God tests us. La'tivcha b'achrisecha, for our benefit, to give us more schar, to give us more reward in the end. Okay? Okay, I'm repeating this because the rule is, from Pirkei Avos, we haven't gotten to it yet, Phil, Lefum Sara Agra, according to the pain is the gain, which everybody knows in the weightlifting business. Okay? So, that's what it is. If sometimes Hashem makes it a little more tough for you, it's because he wants to get you more reward. There's an incident with Rivka Imenu, our mother Rivka, right? She went down to the well, a miracle happened. The water jumped into the pitcher. Okay? She was getting water. But then when Eliezer came, and she was doing an act of chesed, the water didn't. There was no miracle. So everybody asked, well, you know, if she's getting water for herself and a miracle happened, how much more so should a miracle happen if she was doing this mitzvah of chesed? No. Hashem wanted her to get the ultimate reward. So she had to go down and draw the water herself. More effort. And she drew and drew and drew for 10 camels. Right? Right? Because Hashem wanted to get the ultimate reward. So we have a medrash, a famous medrash. Moshe goes up to heaven. And he had the same question, Phil had the same question he did. Why do bad things happen to good people, right? But actually, the Gemara goes in detail. Moshe had several questions, and one of them was, why is there such a thing as tzaddik v'tevlo? Why is there such a thing as a tzaddik and good things happen to him? And you're all going, what do you mean? That's the way it's supposed to be. No, Moshe understood. Tzaddik v'ralo, a tzaddik and bad things happen. I understand. Hashem wants to give him more reward. He's a tzaddik. You know, make it a little tougher for him. Let him get up, you know, grab those big diamonds. Right? But tzaddik v'tevlo, that I don't understand. Why is there a tzaddik and good things happen to him? It's not fair. He has no trials and tribulations. Everything is going smooth. He doesn't get to serve you on such a high level. He won't get such a great reward. That I'm perplexed about. Okay. Now, another key things. Boy, I tell you, you gotta lock onto this verse, these two verses. Chapter 9, verses 17 and 18. And boy, I gotta lock onto it too. V'amarta b'levecha, you'll say in your heart, Koichi v'oitzi miyadi asali esachayel azeh. What will you do? You'll say, Koichi v'oitzi miyadi. My strength, my ability got me this. That's not the way a Jew looks at things. The next verse. V'zachartes Hashem Elokecha. Remember the Lord your God. Ki hu hanosen lecha koyach la'asos chayil. It's He that gives you the strength, the ability, the talents to be successful. You hear? And listen to the Unklus translation. So this goes on everything. Uncle says it goes in particularly about livelihood, acquiring belongings. You'll say, Yadi Kanuli Yas Nechase, my hand acquired these possessions. And you're supposed to say that Hashem did it. Who, listen to these words, Yahav Lecha Eitz Lemakne Nechasim. It's Hashem who gave you the Eitzah, the advice, how to acquire these possessions. You hear? You think, boy, I'm astute, you know, acute, whatever, businessman, that I thought of these schemes and deals. No, it's Hashem that gave you those ideas. Give credit where credit's due. It's not the miracle of science. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's watching over you. Okay? That's very bad. And you know, this is exemplified by Mr. Bitachon. That's Yosef. Yosef, throughout all of his ordeals, he never complained. And there's a verse, there's a verse similar to this where it says, V'kol asher hu aseh, Hashem matzliach biyado. Everything that he did, God brought hatzlacha, success to his hands. And that's what we always got to remember. We have to remember the national anthem of Abraham when he defeated four kings. Four kings who defeated five kings, right? What was his one word answer when they started praising him? How great he was? Biladai. It's nothing to do with me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he raised his hand to heaven. Biladai. Nothing to do with me. Yosef also says that word. Okay? Biladai. Nothing to do with me. And you got to remember this. I got to tell you, it's very humbling when I forget to pray before I give this class. I'm telling you the truth. I was very overwhelmed last week. I was very overwhelmed this week. If everything's coming out right, I know the source behind it. Because I was in trepidation, momish. My knees were shaking. How am I going to give all over this beautiful Torah? You know? And Baruch Hashem, I felt good last week. And I can say that because I understand the sources from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And everything you do, all you can do is the effort. The results, that's in Hashem's hands. So you got to remember this. Remember the Lord God. He gives you the strength, the talents, the abilities. Any success you have, it's Hashem. And I got to tell you, the simplest things can go wrong, and we all know it. Especially if I go into an office supply store, and I don't ask Hashem, help me get in and out of here quickly. I know what's going to happen. I'll end up buying another 43 pens that I'm not going to use. They have such cute little tzatzkas, such wonderful toys. You know, I have a hard time getting out of there, you know. And at Target, they know me. Oh, there's Dove Bear. He'll be here another 3 hours. Right? No, I'm serious. Groceries, pray, help me get in and out of here as soon as possible, get what I need, not get distracted, not forget anything. Yeah, you'll forget. Right, you'll get in a long line. I am telling you, in everything you do, you got to include God in your life and realize everything's coming from Him. You're making a statement. I know I can't do anything without your help. It's this verse. These are things we've talked about all year round. The sources are in this parsha. This is, you know, Hashkafa parsha. Okay.
This is perfect also for school starts for most kids today.
Right. That's right. Oh, very good. Okay. Okay, now let's go on. Chapter 8. Again, we're warned, if you don't listen to the voice of Hashem, right, what's going to happen? You're not going to stay in the land of Israel. He's going to chase you out like He chased out all these other nations. This is a theme that's repeated, right? Over and over again, about if we want to stay in the land of Israel, we have to obey to the mitzvahs of Hashem. Okay, we'll go on. Next page, chapter 9, verse 13. Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu is recounting how we were a stiff-necked people, how we tested Hashem in the desert. Now really, this term, Am Kishe Oiref, a stiff-necked people, right? Right? Which means an auction. Everybody know Yiddish, auction? My brother-in-law always says, auction speaks louder than words. Okay, it's being stubborn. Okay, anyways, but this is a good trait. Hashem gave us the traces. We're Azos Ba'amim. We're the most stubborn brazen of the nations because that stubbornness has kept us alive in the exile and not to infiltrate or assimilate or convert, right, to the other religions that seem to be more popular in number, right? And we've adhered to the Torah. That's that stiff-neckedness used properly. Again, we use it, you know, improperly against Hashem. That's a problem, okay? Now, the real problem we have, I'll get to in a second, but I want you to, in this review, where Moshe is saying he went up, trying to get an atonement for the sin of the golden calf, there's two prayers that he uses, and Moshe Rabbeinu uses throughout the Torah. We use it throughout our prayers, all the time. The two things that, like, push the right button, right? Chapter 9, verse 27 and 28. We are nothing, but you know what? Remember your servants, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hashem had a special love for Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and we're their grandchildren. So remember, you promised them, especially Avram and Akedas Yitzchak, right, that we'll never be wiped out. So for their sake, Hashem will save us. That's one that always works. It's called Zchus Avos. And the other one, okay, we're bad, but why should your holy name be, you know, desanctified? I don't like to say the word, desecrated, okay? Amongst the nations of the world. For the sake of your holy name. Verse 28, what will the Egyptians say? They'll say, you took us out, you can't bring us into this land, you took us to die in the desert. What, you know, you've attached your name with us. You're our God. So anything that happens to us is reflected on you. And that is why the redemption will come. If for no other reason, to stop the Chilul Hashem in the world, to stop desecration of God's name in the world. And that's what it says. We'll be redeemed, if for no other reason, for all the afflictions we suffered. Okay? Okay. Chapter 10, verse 9. It's very interesting. It says here about the tribe of Levi. Everybody will get a portion in the land of Israel, but not Levi. Levi's special. Okay? And they won't, and it says, Hashem hu nachlaso. Hashem is his inheritance. Hashem will take care of him. And there's a famous book, Chovas Levavos, it says everybody can be in this category. A person who's like a Levi, completely dedicated to the service of God, he won't be subject to basar v'dam, to a man of flesh and blood, for his physical provisions. Hashem hu nachlaso. Hashem will take care of him personally. But you got to be on this level of a Levi. Okay? Okay? Now, we're going to go back to that verse we talked about earlier, chapter 10, verse 12. Ata Yisrael, what does Hashem ask of you? To fear him, right? We said everything is in the hands of God except fear of God. We learn from there. But, you know, if you look at this verse, there's a lot more there. Let's look at it. What is Hashem asking you? Okay, nothing much. Yir as Hashem lokecha, fear God. Lelechet b'chol derachav, go in all his ways. U'avoiso, love him. U'avdo, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshcha, and you should serve him with all your heart and soul. Listen to this. What does Hashem ask you? Fear him, go in his ways, love him, serve him with all your heart and soul, keep all of his mitzvahs and his chukim. Okay? And the Gemara comes from here and says, you know what? What this really means is 100 blessings. It's from one word. It's, you know, it says, Yisrael, ma, what does Hashem ask you? Don't read it ma. No, don't read it right. Read it mea, 100. 100. That's what it means. It really means Hashem wants 100 brachas. The verse says, fear God, go in his ways, love him, do all his mitzvahs, serve him with all your heart and soul. No, it really means 100 brachas. What's going on? So Rabbi Victor Miller says the following. If you think about it, that's the foundation of our service to God. A bracha. Because what's a bracha? A bracha is saying everything we've been saying. It's not mine by right. It's yours. It's a miracle, this peach, the plum, the apple, whatever it is. And it's a gift from you to me. I acknowledge it. I thank you for it. I ask you permission to eat it. I recognize it's a miracle. And I don't just deserve it. It's just not mine by right. But it's a gift from you. And I thank you for it. That's a bracha. You do that 100 times a day. Everything. Thank you, Hashem, for opening up my eyes in the morning. Right? We say brachas. Shasli kol tzarchi. That you supplied all my needs. Going back to that other verse, that you should remember the Lord your God, that He gave you the talents and skills and the ability. Hamachim etzadei gavar, you lead the steps of man. You show me what to do, how to do it in business and all these things. We have brachas in the morning for this. 100 times a day, you thank Hashem that it's not koichi v'oitzim yadi, it's not my strength and my power to do this, but it's all from you. That's the foundation to come to fear of God, to go in His ways, to serve Him with all your heart and soul. But you have to have the foundation of hakar satayv, of being grateful and recognizing these gifts from Hashem. So that's what Rav Miller says. So it's very good. It doesn't contradict the verse. Mea brachas, 100 blessings. By the way, Gemara says that modim, the prayer modim in the Shemona Esrei, modim equals 100. And it says that, if a person says that of concentration, looks at everything in there, right, it's equal as if he said the 100 blessings. Yeah, if you look at that blessing, modim, you look at it, it's a beautiful, read it to you. I thank you, Hashem, right? That you are the shield of my salvation. I'll tell your praises on the following. The life that you've given me, the neshama that you've given me on loan, on va'al nisechash b'chol yom imanu, on your everyday miracles that are all around us. Va'al nifloisech, on all your wonders, v'tovasech, on all the goodness that you give to us, b'chol et, at all times, in the evening, in the morning, in the afternoon. Hatov kilo kalu rachamecha, and your rachmanis, your mercy has never ceased, right? And your chesed has never ceased. We always hope in you. A beautiful blessing. It really sums up this whole parsha. Everything is from Hashem. Alles ist mit der Eibishter. Okay? So, we'll move on from here. And the bottom line here, you got to know, verse 13, it goes on, we do all the mitzvahs, but the bottom line is, look at the last two words, l'tov lach, so it's good for you. We always look at the mitzvahs, you know, as a straitjacket. That we do the mitzvahs, Hashem gives all these mitzvahs, l'tov lach, for our ultimate benefit. Not just in the next world, in this world we enjoy it more, as we said many times, okay? But the biggest problem we have is that we're stupid. Now, how can I say such a thing? Because it's written in the Torah. Okay, chapter 10, verse 16. That's where it's written. Umaltem es arlas levavkem. Remove the foreskin of your heart. For arbechem lo takshu'oid. Right? So, Unklus says on this, what does it mean to remove the foreskin of your heart? Vetadin yas tipshus livchem. Remove the stupidity from your hearts, the foolishness. That's the big problem. If we just get rid of the foolishness, right, then we have no questions. We have no questions on anything. That's what the verse said. Look at it. If you remove the foreskin, the foolishness from your heart, va'arpechem lo takshu'ud. You'll have no takshu. It's like plain words. You say a bakasha. You have no more questions. You have no more questions. It all becomes crystal clear about our foreskin, our negiyas, our biases, our prejudices, our brainwashing from society doesn't let us see clearly. Okay? Moving on. The text for the Shmoneh Esrei Bracha, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanoira, right? The first blessing of the Shmoneh Esrei is in our Torah portion in chapter 10, verse 17. Okay? Ve'ahavta misagir. Verse 19. 36 times repeated in the Torah to love the stranger, the convert, everything that's encompassed in that. Okay? Another beautiful verse is 20. You get a chance to look at all these verses in depth. It's beautiful. That you should fear God and just serve Him and cleave to Him, right? Beautiful verses. Okay. Okay, and again repeated in chapter 11, verse 1. Our whole purpose on earth is to love God, to keep His mitzvahs all the days. That means in this world and the next world we'll have, okay? Chapter 11, verse 12. Eretz Asher Hashem Lokecha Doresh Osa. The land of Israel, Hashem is always watching over. Personal supervision. It's the king's backyard. And we're warned, you better behave there. Right? You better do the mitzvahs there because it will spit you out. Words in another parsha is it will vomit you out. If you're not going to do Torah mitzvahs, don't go to Israel. That's what we're warned on time and time again throughout this Torah portion. Okay? On the other hand, if you do your mitzvahs, if you do the mitzvahs, you'll stay in the land of Israel. And the last verse of our Torah portion says, and Hashem will put a fear, a pachtachem or morachem, a fear in the inhabitants of everybody that see you. Okay? Is chapter 8, verse 2 says, you keep the mitzvahs. Rashi comments there, shalot nasu, don't test Hashem. Don't test Hashem, do His mitzvahs. Of course, we have it backwards. We test Hashem. We say, yeah, why should we do the mitzvahs? This mitzvah, I don't understand. This one, no, we got it backwards. We don't test Hashem, but Hashem can test us. That's what our parsha teaches us. Hashem will test you and afflict you to see if you love Him, right? But we don't test Him. You got it? Okay, good. We're conscious of that. Now, the other thing I want to mention here, I think we're going to have to close with this, the Sartem. Chapter 11, verse 16, Vasartem, that you'll go away from the Torah, and because of that, Vavatem Elohim Acharim, and you'll serve other gods. If a person does not, if he goes away from Torah, if he's not in the Torah, he's going to end up serving other gods. He's going to be an environmentalist, an animal wacko. He's going to start defending all these things, which might be all right in themselves, but way out of proportion. If the Neshama is not in Torah, it's going to go out on tangents with no balance. Okay? Are you allowed to make fun and call these things by derogatory nicknames? Yes, absolutely. The sawed-off Texans has a source for it. Chapter 7, verse 26, Sheketz Pekshaksenu, Rashi says, you should call them by derogatory nicknames, all the avoided Zarah, including the philosophical ones. Uvarach as Hashem Elokecha, you should thank the Lord your God. From here they learn you have to thank Hashem for good and bad.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.